there, I tell her, I say, you're going to be such, and you're already such an asset to her daddy, and I'm thankful to see the talent. There's another one in here, Carter's back there, and God's give him that talent, and I thank him for that. And some of you may have that, but I'm thankful that God pours out his blessings on people, and he gives those Amen. Gifts, and I love to see people use them. I thank God for Shelby and what she's done, and sharing her talent with all these people in this county, and it's just multiplied and went far and wide, and you'll never know until you get there what you've done, and I thank you for that. But, Kelsey, I appreciate that song today.
Amen. Don't you appreciate that singing? Amen. That's a blessing. I appreciate her doing that. Well, it's come time for preaching. I appreciate Brother Jeremy Bumgarner. No stranger to camp meeting. Grew up around here kicking shavings. Amen. He pastors the Oakwoods Baptist Church. I appreciate him. Appreciate every time the Lord touches him. I love to hear him shout. It helps me. It may not help you, but it helps me. Amen. Brother Jeremy, you come on around and preach to us. Carry out the service as you feel led of the Lord. It's a blessing to have you on this platform today. Love you, brother. Amen. Preach to us.
Appreciate the privilege to be here today. Thank God for saving me, and thank God for all of his many blessings that he's blessed me with, for a daughter that can sing before me, and she plays at the church, and she's a great blessing and a great asset to our church, and I thank God for that. And she's singing about going home. We're going to be talking about Paul today. Paul had a little problem in his life. He said he had a desire to be up there, and he had one to be down here. He said, I'm in the middle of that.
Yes, sir.
But he's not today.
No, sir.
He made it.
Amen.
And we're going to make it by the grace of God. Our Lord is coming one day, and we will go to see him. Amen. He's coming, and we're going. We're going to get together. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I'm thankful for the privilege to be here today. Thank God for camp meeting and Pastor Steve and the Foxes. And all you preachers here today, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, do believe with all my heart this is what God have me to preach today. And I guess I thought there's several preachers here, so I know they didn't run out of somebody to get, but I thought when he first asked me, somebody must have canceled. Thank God for the opportunity to be here today, and appreciate my family, my sister-in-law and nephews and the whole crowd being here today. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I'd like to preach with the help of the Lord today on this thought, so fight I. So fight I. That's what Paul said here. And the lesson here, and apparently some in the church at Corinth were examining Paul. If you look at the rest of the chapter, verse number 3, it says, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. And Paul was talking about support, and he talked about how that he was in the right place to be supported. He was an apostle. He was one who had witnessed the Lord's resurrection, and he had seen him face to face on the road to Damascus, and he talked about how, though, that he was not going to receive support from these people. And he did it all for the gospel's sake. Amen?
Amen.
For the gospel's sake. In verse number 23, he says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. He wanted others to be helped through the gospel. And man, was Paul a fighter. I thought about us. We've all probably, if not in word, at least in thought today, we've all concussed and complained about the weather. Man, it sure is hot in here in the camp meeting. Man, it sure is a hot place. And I thought about the Apostle Paul today. If he's here, he'd probably get up and thank God. Boy, I sure am. It's so good and hot in here today. Boy, it just lets me know I still am a man. Amen. Yeah. Paul, he was a strong man, strong spiritually, strong in the things of God. And he didn't let a lot of things that we let worry us and bother us and get us sidetracked. It just didn't seem to sidetrack him. After he met the Lord on the Damascus Road and the light shined out of heaven, boy, he had one course, and that was one course full speed ahead. And boy, they could do everything it seemed possible, Brother Steve, to the Apostle Paul. They left him for dead. They beat him. He was in shipwrecks and all kinds of things. And you'd think, well, this man's done. You know, he's going to get up, he's going to curse God, and he's going to die. Boy, he'd crawl out of the shavings, and he'd get him another wind, and he'd go back to preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is willing to take any back seat. He said, for the Jew, I become a Jew. To the Gentile, I'll be a Gentile. Whatever it is, whoever it is, if I just can win some, I'll do whatever it takes. Amen, for the gospel's sake. And that was the type of man that Paul was. So fide-eyed. Some preachers are just running and fighting to gain some earthly something from the crowds that they prey on. But some, like Paul, were running and fighting to gain rewards in heaven. And that's another thing this chapter has to deal with. He ain't talking about salvation. He's talking about that incorruptible crown that's laid up in glory. That's what he's pressing for. That's what he's fighting for, is that incorruptible reward that is waiting on him when he gets to the portals of glory. That's what he's fighting for. You say, well, fighting ought not to be mentioned in the pulpit. Well, you better go read your Bible. There's a lot of fighters in the Bible. Sometimes, and it was the Lord God himself that said, hey, I want you to go wipe out this crown. When you go into that land, you're going to have to wipe out some people. But you know, he was with them the whole time. And he helped them bring every victory. And a lot of times, all they had to do is about what Ephesians 6 says, just get all dressed up and stand. I'll do the fighting for you. I'll fight your battles. You just do what I tell you to do, and I'll work the rest of it out. Our problem is we try to work the rest of it out and leave God out of it all together. But we need God to fight the spiritual battles of this life. Fighting is okay if it's done God's way and according to God's will. Paul fought with certainty. Verse 26, he said, I therefore so run not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. He fought with certainty. Many fights are lost before the fight ever starts. I've watched boxing, I've watched other fighting on TV before, and boys, some of those guys are whipped before it ever starts. You can see it in their eyes. They're looking at the other guy across the way, you know, and you can already see it. Man, this guy's done lost all hope. He knows he's a dead man. He knows he's going to lose this battle, and before it ever starts, he's done. Paul wasn't that kind of guy. He was certain. He knew. He was certain about the God he served. There was no doubt in his mind he was serving the only true and right and holy and just God, and that was the God above. Amen? He knew. How do you know? Here he says, 2 Timothy 1, verse number 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. Said, I ain't ashamed of the suffering I've been going through. Could you imagine some of us, if we suffered just a little bit about what Paul suffered? Man, we'd quit church. We'd quit camp meeting. We'd quit everything that had to do with God. You know, I ain't going back. You know, boy, it's been so bad on me, and I've hurt so bad. What does us all good at some of these that can't even hardly crawl in here to the shavings? Watch them crawl in here. You know, they got every reason in the world to stay home, but here they are. They're in lounge chairs. They're coming in here in wheelchairs, walking in here on crutches. That's what helps us press on. Amen. They're fighters. They ain't willing just to sit by. They ain't going to just sit by in the background and let everybody else do it. They're going to do their part. Amen. They're fighters. Certain about the God he served. I ain't even got the verse read yet. Said, I'm not ashamed, and here it is. For I know. He didn't say, I think so. Maybe I got the right God. Maybe I do. I don't know. I hope I'm serving the right one. No, he said, I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He knew. If you don't know who you're serving, how are you going to fight? Who are you going to fight for? Amen. He knew who he was serving. He is certain about the God he served. He was certain about the gospel he preached. The gospel is mentioned 8 times in this chapter and 74 times in the writings of Paul, if I did not miscount them. I'd say he loved the gospel. Amen. Gospel is Christ, right? Amen. He was certain about the gospel he preached. Romans 1, 15 and 16. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The way some preachers preach, it makes you wonder if they even believe the gospel they preach. You know? He knew what he preached. He preached with certainty. Amen. He knew about the gospel that he preached. It's a gospel of peace. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It's a gospel of grace. It's a gospel of pardon. It's a gospel of power. Hallelujah. It'll change lives. Amen. He's certain. Also, he's certain about the glory that awaited him. I love this. You just can't preach all about Paul in one camp meeting service. It's just impossible. The more I dug in this, the more I figured out, man, I ain't going to get all this told. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7 and 8. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And boy, this right here just really jumped out at me. And it's just two little words. Don't you thank God for the word of God? Henceforth, here it is, don't miss it, there is, there is. He didn't say there might be something up there in heaven if there is a heaven. He said, henceforth, there is, laid up for me. For who? For me. He said, I fought my good fight. I don't know about the rest of you, but I fought my fight. I finished my course, and he said, I know, without a shadow of a doubt, it's laying up there for me when I get to glory. Hallelujah to his name. What is it? It's a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Hallelujah. Not to me only, but who? God's not stingy. But unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. He was certain about the glory that awaited him. And another one I want to read, that's some of my trouble. There's too much in here about Paul and God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. I believe Paul was looking for something that was laid up, don't you? He was looking for the glory that awaited. Amen. He was going to a place where he would not suffer anymore, where he would not be beat anymore, where he would not face shipwreck anymore, where he would not hunger and thirst anymore, where he would not be shackled to a prisoner anymore. Amen. He's going to that place. And he believed it. Do you believe you're going to heaven? Do you believe there is a heaven? Amen. He's coming, like they sung. He's coming. And he fought with clarity. They sort of all go together. It's hard to sort of separate them. He fought with certainty and he fought with clarity. He said, so fight my brother. No, that ain't what he said. He said, so fight I. Paul said, I'm on the battlefield. I'm in the Lord's army. And one thing about Paul also, he knew who he was. He didn't try to be something that he wasn't, but he knew who he was, and he knew what his mission was, and he did his best to carry it out by the grace and the help of God. He knew who he was. He knew he is a servant. Romans 1:1. I ain't got time to read all these. But sometimes the greatest battle can be self. That's another thing he's talking about in this chapter. He's keeping his body under subjection. Though he might be able to do something, he don't really need to do it this time. You know, he needs to humble himself. A fighter, he knows he's a fighter. Some claim to be a fighter, but when the fight starts, they don't have much fight in them. Kelsey, she was sitting down here. She looked over at me and she said, "Are you nervous?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "I am." But I was wanting to say, "Just leave me alone." Yes, I'm nervous. Just leave me alone. I'm sure there's times Paul was nervous. I mean, he is flesh and blood like us, was he not? But there was something greater than just his feelings. His faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew why he was sent. 2 Timothy 1:11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, and he was never ashamed to be a preacher. He is never ashamed of his titles. He's never ashamed that he was an apostle. Boy, he was grateful to be a preacher of the gospel. Another place, and there's probably more. You can take his home and add to it. He said, "I am an ambassador in bonds." Yeah, that's weird, ain't it? You'd think he wouldn't be in bonds if he's an ambassador for the King of Glory. Looks like he'd be free to walk around and do whatever he wants to. He said, "No, I'm in bonds." That's in Ephesians 6:20. He had clear directions, clear discernment, and clear directives. They was on that boat that night, you know, and everything fall apart. He's the only one who knew what was going on. Said, "Be of good cheer, guys. My God stood by me this night." Amen. He was certain. Paul fought for the right cause. Verse 25, "For every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." He fought for the right cause. Some people fight for silver, but Paul fought for souls. Some fight for gold, but Paul fought for God and the Gentiles. What are we fighting for? Why are you on the battlefield? And you'd think, Brother Steve, you'd think, really do, that most of the crowd here today, they really wanted to be here, or they really wouldn't be here. You know, this is Sunday afternoon. This is nap time for most of us. And we're just barely staying awake as it is. And it's hotter and far, and we know it's going to be hot, but we come anyway. But could it be there's maybe somebody here, you're just wondering why you are on the battlefield. Let me ask you, why are you on the battlefield? Is it for your personal glory, or is it to give glory to God? Amen. Some fight for position, but Paul fought because he knew of his position. I love that. He knew of his position in heaven. Ephesians 2:6, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." He knew where his place was. Amen. He fought for the right cause. Fight for your church. Fight for your children. Amen. That's something worth fighting for. Fight for your country. Boy, I thank God for servicemen that's fighting for our country, that have fought for our country. We ought to salute every one of them and say, "To God be the glory. We live in a free country. We was able to come in here today and sit down at our own free will and worship God. What an honor." Boy, I was blessed last Sunday afternoon by one thing. Some things that happened was terrible, but some was good. That's the life of a pastor. Boy, we had a funeral last Sunday afternoon, and the guy that had died had served in the Navy, and they sent two Navy officers over there to do his thing. They didn't have anybody else they sent them to, and boy, Brother Steve, when that guy got down, Lord have mercy, he got down in front of that widow, and he held that flag there, and with tears streaming down his face, he talked about our government. He talked about our God and said, "We just want to show our appreciation for the sacrifice of your husband." Boy, I said, "Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank God we got men that have served on the battlefield, that have sacrificed. They've paid the price. They fought for this country so we could meet here today and worship God." What an honor that is. Bless his holy name. Fighters. Ephesians 3:14-21. Paul had a cause. He's got a lot of causes. Go read about them. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I skipped the rest of the verses. I thought, well, what's his cause? I think it's verse number 21. I may be wrong, but listen to this. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He bowed his knees. He prayed for those people for a lot of different reasons, but the ultimate goal was that there would be glory in the church. That was his desire. Thought about somebody else. David was a fighter, wasn't he? Boy, what a fighter. Wouldn't you like to went to battle with David? If I was going to go, I believe I'd want to go with him, wouldn't you? You remember that big old man, Goliath? 1 Samuel 17. David come down there, and I think it was one of his brothers, spoke up and said, well, what in the world are you doing down here? We know what you come for, David. You just come to look on the battle. No, he didn't just come to look on the battle. He come to get in on the battle. Everybody else has been looking at the battle. Everybody's at a standstill. They're looking at Goliath. He's defying the armies of Israel, and he's taunting this and taunting that. And David said, I'll go. And he said, what? You can't go. You're just a little old fella. Oh, no, but I can go in the name of Jesus Christ. I can go in the name of God. Look at what he's doing. Look what he's saying about our God. Amen. He went, didn't he? Some people just sit on the sidelines, but I'm thank God there's some get in the fight. Amen. For God and right. You know what David said? See, I'm missing everything. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? That's what he said. Is there not a cause? Hallelujah, there's a cause. Paul didn't fight for personal gain, but he fought to please God and finish his course. And one more and I'm about done, but I see the light ain't even on, so I guess I got all evening. Paul fought against the right crowd. He said, I'm not beating the air. I ain't just swinging and coming up empty. He said, when I swing, I know where I'm swinging. I know who I'm swinging at. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Paul knew who the enemy was. I'm afraid a lot of people in our days forgot who the enemy was. We fight each other. We wound each other. We kill our own soldiers. He's not doing that. He's fighting against the right enemy. What is the enemy? Well, I think one of them is the flesh. That's the thing he's keeping under subjection, the body, the world, and the devil. In Ephesians 6:12, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He knew who the enemy was. Are you fighting the wrong crowd? You ought to be fighting against the right crowd. Amen. Remember Peter? They come to get our Lord. He'd just been kissed, I believe it was, by Judas. They come to get him. Peter, he just yanked that sword out and cut his ear off, didn't he? You remember what our Lord told him? This is just in my words. Put that thing up. Do you not know, Peter, that I could call down, I believe it was 12 legions of angels, my beckoning call? I don't need you to defend me.
Amen.
Amen. Be careful. Be careful. Paul was a man who wanted to be careful, Brother Steve.
Yes, sir.
What do you want to be careful with? This right here. You see, a man, even with good intentions, can take this right here in all power and authority and hurt somebody. The wrong way.
Yes, sir.
But Paul didn't want that to ever happen. That's why he just kept humbling himself, bringing himself down. He didn't want to hurt nobody. The truth stings sometimes. I realize that. It can cut very deep. But there's healing that comes too afterwards.
Amen.
Paul didn't want to hurt anybody. He didn't want to end up in a bad way. Can I read you something? I'll read fast. I'm a pretty quick reader. Ephesians 6, and it just speaks for itself. Verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And listen to this next. Lord have mercy. And for me. Said if you would, I want you to pray a little prayer for me. This is his prayer. Man. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Why? To make known the mystery of the gospel.
Amen.
Most of our prayers would be, Lord, get us out of this situation. Lord, get us out of this heat. Lord, God, let us go home. Lord, I've suffered enough today. They beat me pretty bad. Lord, get me out of this suffering. But no, Paul says, I want you to pray one thing for me. I want you to pray, God, give me utterance. God, give me power when I open my mouth that I may speak boldly the word of God. Amen. Because why? He knew this gospel was the power of God unto salvation. And he was not ashamed of it. Amen. We are not fighting for victory, but from victory. 1 Corinthians 15, I am almost done. I know preachers lie about that, but I am. But thanks be to God, he said, which giveth us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What's he saying? Keep fighting. Keep pressing on. Don't quit. Amen. Keep pressing on. Don't lay down. Fight the good fight of faith till your course is finished. Paul did not want to end up a castaway, unworthy, worthless, and disqualified. He did not ever want that to happen. Not on either. So fight I. I guess sometimes, and it's not maybe the easiest thing to do, but sometimes it seems like it's just to quit. Just to say, well, I'm getting off the boat. Let them have it. The hardest thing to do is to fight, especially when there ain't many around you fighting with you. It don't seem like it. When it seems like you're all alone. They did Paul that way. They did Jesus that way. And they may do us that way. But I'm glad God's still going to be with us. If I could today encourage you to keep fighting, I'm the least of anybody in here in this entire building to tell you to keep fighting. And but for the grace of God,
right.
The only reason I'll be fighting come next Sunday, it'll be by his grace.
Right.
You say, well, I'm too tough. I'll never quit. I'll never throw in the towel. Yeah, that's what Lot said. You'll never find them at church again. You'll never see them at camp meeting again. They just got, I don't know what happened, Brother Steve. Maybe they got hurt too much. Maybe they got just all mixed up in sin, but they're gone. Preachers, I mean preachers, it's 10 times better than me. I've heard them preach right here. They're not preaching today. They're not preaching anymore. They're gone. Cast away. God, help us to stay true to the gospel. It's for the gospel's sake. It ain't about getting our will done or getting our agenda done. It's for the gospel's sake. Amen. That's what this camp meeting's about. That's probably why it stood for 55 years. It's because of this book. The gospel's sake. I'm done.